Okay, I'm going to call the Senate Finance meeting to order. Time is 9 o'clock. Today is Friday, February 8th, and our Senate members with us today are Co-Chairman Kelly, Senator Olson, Senator Dunleavy, and Vice Chair Faircloth. So we do have a quorum to conduct business. Today we will be taking up, again, House Bill 80, Cruise Ship Wastewater Discharge, and we had quite a bit of public testimony yesterday. We received a lot of letters, handouts, emails, et cetera, on this, and I'm hoping all members had a chance to read and digest the input that they received. I would like, though, to ask DEC to come back up before the committee so that if committee members have some additional questions, we can ask them. I think that, and also want to welcome Senator Bishop here to the committee. We did have some concerns raised about the Fish and Game and whether or not they had an opinion on that. I believe everybody got a letter from Fish and Game as well. If not, it's in your packet. So with that, I'd like to just open this up. Questions for Lynn's back, Lynn Kent, Deputy Commissioner. And with that, I'll let you start first, Deputy Commissioner. Was there any comments, additional comments, thoughts that you had based on the public? I know you were here the whole time, too, on the public testimony that we heard yesterday.
Thank you. Again, my name is Lynn Kent. I'm the Deputy Commissioner, Department of Environmental Conservation. Mr. Chairman, I don't have any additional comments to add at this point in time, but we're sure happy to answer any questions the committee has.
Okay. Very good. Just one quick question for me. This is the Finance Committee, and I know this is mostly a resource bill, but we are obviously concerned about the cost to the state. And I noticed your fiscal note is zero. Can you explain the zero fiscal note, please?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. The fiscal note is a zero fiscal note because there are no financial impacts to the department of changes to the permitting regime. That would be very similar to what it has been for quite a few years now. When HB 134 passed in 2009 that created the Science Advisory Panel, we did not attach a fiscal note to that. We did not ask for an increment to work with the Science Advisory Panel. Instead, what we did was to defer some other work in order to accommodate the panel, and we're now looking forward to returning to that other work. So that's why the zero fiscal note.
Okay. And then one other clarification I'd like to make. I think, and I did not look at the form, but I believe you said every time somebody asks for a permit, one of the questions is, are you using the latest technology? Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, yes, that's correct.
Okay. So as technology gets developed and as people request permits, the latest technology should be used or being implemented. I don't want to put words in your mouth.
No, that's, you're right on. That's correct.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. That's all the questions that I have. Any members, any additional thoughts, questions? Senator Olson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Kent, I was the testimony that was given 2 days ago by DEC, and I think you testified to that effect, was that there were no studies on copper and the effect on fish that you were aware of. Was that true, or did I misinterpret what you said? Or, I mean, I don't know, we had a little discussion at the beginning between Senator Dunleavy and myself as to what was really being said, but let me just ask you again, what is the, are there any studies that have been done on minute copper amounts as well as the salmon fish and and how it affects the migration thereof?
Yeah, Senator Olson, through the chair, I appreciate the opportunity for clarification on that. DEC's water quality standards for copper include standards for acute effects and chronic effects, and we adopt those standards based on criteria that are developed by EPA. Those criteria are developed after many, many, many studies of the effects of copper both in freshwater and in marine waters. So our standards are based on a significant number of marine water toxicity type testing. When I refer to a lack of studies for marine water, it has to do with the behavioral effects that were observed in a couple studies that were done in freshwater. So the researchers on those freshwater studies indicated that their data cannot really be extrapolated to marine waters. It's our understanding that there is additional study going on right now in marine waters and behavioral effects. And when that, when that data is available, DEC will certainly be reviewing it and seeing if it drives a change to our water quality standards. But we can't really do that until we have defensible science.
So, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, please.
Yesterday we had testimony by Dr. Kotsky, who mentioned Carol Ann Woody's report, as well as Dr. Schultz, who had been doing copper studies, especially specifically on salmon. So are you saying that there's a lack of validity to those studies that were put forward that have been going on for the last, according to Dr. Kotsky, he's been with NOAA for 40 years?
Yes, Senator Olson, through the chair. The reference that Dr. Kotsky made was to some NOAA studies. Nathaniel Schultz was the researcher. And I'll just maybe read one little blurb from that study. It says, the extent to which our results can be extended to fishes in estuaries or salt water is less clear. And then they give the reasons why. It's chemical reasons why and physiological reasons why. They do say additional studies using seawater acclimated fish are therefore recommended. So we're not trying to dispute the work that they did in freshwater. It's good work. It's peer-reviewed science. What we're concerned about is we don't have data at this point or research at this point to drive any changes to our marine criteria for copper.
Follow?
Mr. Chairman, thank you. And so if I would conclude that if we don't have any conclusive evidence, why are we changing the law?
Senator Olson, through the chair, the water quality standards are really a completely different set of regulations and issues than what we do when we do in permitting and what's covered under HB 80.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator Olson. Additional questions? Senator Farquhar, I thought you had one there.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I was reviewing the notes from yesterday, and Senator Olson covered most of the responses that are included in the Fish and Game request. Can you speak to, we've received additional email this morning and through last night on the use of a preliminary report. So if you could state clearly for the record what this committee has heard and previous committees heard as to why it's called a preliminary report. It's being questioned that there may be more to come.
Thank you, Senator Faircloth, through the chair. I'd be happy to do that. First of all, I need to note that the law that requires a report is a report by the department to the legislature, and the law speaks to a preliminary and a final report based on timing. So we were supposed to provide a preliminary report to the legislature this January and a final report to the legislature 2 years from now. The Science Advisory Panel chose to provide their advice to us via a report, and they just used the same name, preliminary, for their report. Having said that, it's really important to make the difference. The word preliminary should not be confused with the word draft. They had multiple drafts of their report. This is a final report. It's a very thorough analysis of current technology and new and emerging technologies.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On another issue, there has been some question as to the scientific panel and the removal of one individual from that panel. Was that the person who testified yesterday?
Senator Faircloth through the chair, no.
Thank you very much. And so when we were looking at establishing, or the group was establishing a scientific panel, was their effort did they act in a way to try to bring in the most knowledgeable people on the issue or a cross-section of Alaska or both?
Senator Faircloth, through the chair, it was both. We were trying to find experts that would help us with primarily the analysis of technology.
Mr. Chairman, and then finally, could you explain to the committee and the general public why one person wasn't moved forward or on? I'm not sure what happened at that particular point in time, but there is some conversation regarding that person, and somehow the removal of a person means that the information that we're receiving is somehow biased.
Senator Faircloth, through the chair, we had a very long list of applicants for the science advisory panel, and there was one person who we had initially thought might be an appropriate member for the panel, but there was concern that he might be too strong of an advocate because he was behind the Citizens Initiative that passed in 2006, and what we were really looking for were people who had expertise in wastewater discharge treatment facilities and their application on cruise ships.
More questions?
I do.
Please.
Mr. Chairman, some emails are that our office is receiving, and I'm sure yours, talk about different systems and are alluding to the fact that some systems remove copper or nickel metal products better than others. But the report indicates that a single advanced treatment system is not able to meet all of the quality standards. Is that a true statement?
Senator Faircloth, through the chair, we don't have any single vessel that meets all of the standards consistently.
More questions?
I'm happy to yield if someone else has questions.
No, you got the floor. Go ahead, Senator Faircloth.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In a scale of standards, when we look at other coastal communities, we heard testimony yesterday that some communities don't allow discharge at all. I'm not sure if they have any ports of call or not, but could you speak to our water quality standards in comparison to others? Do we have high water quality standards, medium quality standards, low water quality standards?
Senator Faircloth, through the chair, I assume you're referring to our water quality standards as opposed to discharge standards in a permit. Our water quality standards, most of them are derived directly from EPA and EPA studies.
Continue.
In section 2, if I'm recalling correctly, there is a removal of a keel manufacturing date. Do I have the right section? I'm just looking at my notes right now, and I'm not cross-sectioning back the actual bill. I can do that.
I believe that's section 2 in the bill.
Yeah, I think that's thought that's what I said. Line 12 and 13, it says, if the keel of the vessel was laid before January 1st, 2004, can you speak to why that might be important or why the administration is recommending removal of that?
Yes, Senator Faircloth, through the chair. I believe that was initially in there because the intent was to provide some relief to those small commercial passenger vessels that were already in the trade and designed to push new vessels to try to meet the same point of discharge requirements, new small vessels to try to meet those requirements when they're constructed. But given the results of the science advisory panel and our analysis of technology, we don't think that even the new vessels can achieve those kinds of standards.
Mr. Chairman, finally, this is an issue that is heartfelt and very important to many communities. And there is a belief, or at least in some of the emails I hear, a fear about that this bill somehow lowers water quality standards or allows sewage to be dumped along coastlines or through waters that fish will somehow be harmed. The science, at least the what we're reading from the science panel, does not reflect those kinds of comments, but because people are afraid, it brings it to a higher level of attention for me. Can you tell me what you believe will happen? I'm sorry, I'm not being very clear. it doesn't appear that anything will change, that right now there are permits that are being issued because advanced wastewater treatments cannot do what we want it to do at this time on board a ship, and that we have emerging technology on land that is proposing to take out specifically copper and nickel, but that is still emerging technology also. Can you just comment on that?
Yes, Senator Faircloth, through the chair. Passage of HB 80 is not going to allow the cruise ships to do anything less than they're already doing in terms of their treatment, and they already treat to a very high level.
Follow up?
Mr. Chairman, finally, do you have the resources at DEC to continue testing to make sure Alaska's waters are safe?
Senator Faircloth, through the chair, yes, this program is funded sufficiently.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Okay.
Thank you for your question, Senator Faircloth. Additional questions, Senator Olson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Kent, one of the questions I forgot to ask you was that yesterday or over the last several days, there's been a discussion within the Senate, especially about amending the bill to try and make it so that it doesn't take effect until 2020 and that things would stay in place now. What kind of adverse effects would the state suffer if it was to go ahead and be amended so that the effective date essentially didn't happen for another 5 years? We kept everything as is and continued on the way we're doing business today.
Senator Olson, through the chair, if I understand you right, I believe you mean what would happen if they extended the requirement to meet all water quality standards at the point of discharge until 2020 or some other time in the future?
Yes.
I think what would happen is that we would be back at you again in a few years with similar concerns about the vessels not being able to meet that requirement, that stringent requirement for those last four parameters.
So you're saying that there'd be no ill effects either to Alaska, to the industry, or to the people of the state of Alaska if we were to amend it to go ahead and take effect in 2020 as opposed to immediately?
Senator Olson, through the chair, I'm sure the cruise industry could speak to this better than I can, but there's a significant amount of lead time that they need to plan their routes and their itineraries, and a delay like that will just put them in the same bind that they're in right now.
I didn't realize the cruise ship industry was in a bind.
Senator Olson, through the chair, the way the law is written right now, without changes, the point of discharge requirements will take effect in 3 years, and they're already beginning to plan their itineraries for that period.
No further questions, Mr. Chairman.
Thanks, Senator Olson. Senator Kelly.
Just a couple points.
Use your mic full.
Excuse me. Just a couple of points of clarifications. Do fishing boats have to meet the same standards that cruise ships meet?
Senator Kelly, through the chair, no.
Do the boats that are in the harbor down here in Juneau that flush their toilets in the harbor, do they have to meet these standards?
Senator Kelly, no.
Okay. Do the communities along Alaska's coastline have to meet these standards?
Again, Senator Kelly, through the chair, no.
Okay. So the communities are probably something we should take a further look at as far as polluting Alaska's water. If we were really concerned about clean water, we do have communities and many boats engaged in commerce in the state of Alaska that are discharging it at a far worse, I mean, they're not even comparable, are they? Far worse level than what we're requiring of cruise ships, is that correct?
Well, Senator Kelly, through the chair, they are, under our current laws, allowed to have mixing zones for their wastewater. We still require it to be treated first.
Okay, thank you.
Senator Kelly, any other questions from committee members? Senator Dunleavy.
Through the chair, and it may not be appropriate for yourself. I was hoping Mr. Zatoma was here, but correct me if I'm wrong. I believe he said that he was, I'm paraphrasing loosely, but he was pretty much satisfied with everything except for four issues in several, possibly several ships. And one was, again, the metal, zinc. Copper, I think ammonia, which I know is not a metal, and there was one other. But did I hear that correctly, that from the time this discussion started a few years ago to now, it was my impression in listening to him that he was, again, lack of a better phrase or term, he was satisfied with the progress that was made except for those couple or the small number of items. Was that correct?
Senator Dunleavy, through the chair, the large commercial passenger vessels are meeting all of the water quality standards at the point of discharge, except for those four, ammonia, copper, nickel, and zinc.
Okay, and just one more follow-up to Senator Kelly's question. The smaller boats or the other dischargers into the same waters, are they monitored at all? Are there folks that monitor the harbor, monitor the smaller boats, or any craft, any dischargers at all, to the extent that the cruise line is monitored?
Mr. Chairman, if I can, I'd ask Michelle Bonnet-Hale, our director for the Water Division, to answer that because she's more familiar with the EPA permit that applies to some of those smaller vessels.
Senator Dunn, for the record, my name is Michelle Bonnet-Hale, and I am the director of DEC's Division of Water. Senator Dunleavy, through the chair, there are several permits that cover smaller vessels. One, the small commercial passenger vessel permit, or the best management practices plan that the small commercial passenger vessels operate under, they sample twice a year. So they have a sampling requirement of twice a year. There's also a EPA vessel general permit that has some sampling requirements, typically not for the smaller vessels, though. And finally, there are Coast Guard requirements, and I don't know the exact requirements for small vessels. They are more oriented towards best management practices for small vessels.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Senator Dunleavy. Questions? Other questions from committee members? Okay, seeing none, I do not see any reason to hold on to this bill any longer. I think we've had good discussion, good input, public testimony, both pro and con. I'm sure there'll be more discussion on this subject. So if there's no other questions or comments, Senator Kelly.
Mr. Chairman, I move HB 80 cruise ship wastewater discharge permits, version 28-GH1987/A from committee with attached zero fiscal notes with individual recommendations.
Any objections? Hearing none, the bill moves on. So please sign the recommendation sheet. With that, next week we're going to thank you, DEC, for joining us again today. Just to give you an insight on what's happening next week, we're going to go back to budget items, and we'll be taking up a series of hearings on the SB 18, which is the capital budget. And our first meeting will be with department overviews from DEC, so we'll get to see DEC again, Department of Environmental Conservation, Department of Military and Veterans Affairs, and Department of Fish and Game. So they will be before us. We'll be going through their capital budget. We'll go fairly quickly, but if there are some items that people have questions on, you know, we'll spend a little more time on it. Obviously, the capital budget is limited, so we want to make sure we know and understand all the items that the administration is requesting. So with that, if there's nothing else to come before the committee, sign the recommendation sheet, and at 9:25, we are adjourned.